Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Baseball is everywhere you are this season with the MLB app. Enjoy the show from wherever you are when you download the free MLB app to your mobile device. Never miss a second of the action with coverage of in-game highlights, pitch-by-pitch features, select live broadcast coverage, and more. Show support for your favorite team with customizable MLB club-branded icons. And tune in to exclusive premium content for every team in the league.
That is out of the ballpark!
The MLB app is your ticket to all things baseball all the time. You can even get live notifications sent to your phone, watch, and car, so you're always up to date on the biggest breaking news, scores, and standings. The MLB app is your hub for live baseball everywhere you go. The number one source of live baseball on your Apple and Android devices is the official app of Major League Baseball. Download the MLB app today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Additional subscriptions may be required. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And just like that, week three is in the books. Man, it goes quickly. I'm excited to get this game processed, analyzed, reacted to, and then we can look at the big picture following Monday Night Football, because every team has played its first three games. Oh, and I'm still alive on Survivor Island. Hey, Jay, how many Survivor Islands are you alive on? Oh, well, it's too soon, is it? One of them is sort of my fault. Our joint pick that we were doing in the office pool. The first week, I let Jay be the tiebreaker, or we decided Jay would be the tiebreaker. And then in week two, I was the tiebreaker. And as much as he keeps trying to tell me that he was fully on board, and maybe he was, it was actually my pick. But the only consolation prize in me getting us eliminated is that his pick also lost. So either one of us, had we gone with your pick, we would have both been booted.
Right. It would have been the same thing either way. So even though I'm telling you, I was 100% on board with the Browns in week two, but...
Ha! Somehow, yeah. The Browns managed to choke away a 13-point lead with a minute and 55 seconds to go. Somehow. Only the Browns. I don't think that could have happened. Well, maybe the Raiders. The Raiders might have done it. The Chargers, I suppose, since they're still the Chargers. But yes, I went with the Eagles in week number three, and I'm still alive. And I'm going to have to check out the latest stats on Survivor Island, because I feel like most of you, hundreds of you actually, are already swimming with the sharks. Or you've become chum, and there's nothing left of you except for a few body parts floating around. Is that morbid? Sorry. I don't know where that came from. Sharks and chum, just not something that we're going to talk about much here on the show. So I wanted to go with the analogy as vividly as possible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. I have a funny story to tell you guys a little bit later on. You're going to laugh. If you listen to the show or you catch the show on podcast, you know last week that Jay and I, a couple of different times, we were talking about how some people, when you text them, they respond with thumbs up or the okay emoji. Just wait until I tell you this story. Of course, it's just only me. This is, it's so typical of my life. Plus, we will share the final results. The results are not yet final, but we will share the final results of our Monday mortification poll. There's still an hour left to go between, well, Twitter has a timestamp on the poll. Facebook does not. However, if you want your vote to be counted, I suppose you better hustle up. But the poll is still live on Twitter, A-Law Radio, about which team should be the most mortified on what we're now dubbing a mortification Monday. Has anyone ever used that phrase before us? Probably not. Mortification Monday. It's so perfect because misery loves company. And for at least half the fans across the country who love football, there is going to be some mortification on a Monday. Actually, sometimes, even when your team wins, there's mortification on a Monday. So we've kind of stumbled into it. Maybe we're supposed to be more upbeat and positive. I know I generally pride myself on being upbeat and positive, though when it comes to Jay and I, he is way more upbeat and optimistic than I am. I am cynical and grumpy compared to producer Jay. Sometimes it's fake, though. Just be honest, Jay. Sometimes you don't actually feel it when you're sending me lots of emojis or like,
oh, that's not true.
On your text messages, sometimes it's not real.
No. The emoji reactions are always accurate to how I'm feeling. Can't fake those.
The best part, though, is when Jay can't fake being in a good mood because he's so tired and he's acting more like a sluggy banana slug. That's the best. You all are probably never going to be privy to that, but it is hysterical. It's like, this is the real Jay all of a sudden.
It does happen.
Yeah, it does. It does happen, but nobody else gets to see that. It just happens to be my privilege.
I get
the banana sluggery. Anyway, so I try to be positive and optimistic, but I think Jay has me beat in that category. But I will say, though, that when it comes to football, it cracks me up that, and this is really the case for most sports, I think, but more so in football because we are invested in different ways. We've got fantasy leagues, we've got survivor teams and pools, we've got our actual teams that we cheer for. And across the country, whether I'm talking about the Seahawks and you live in Florida, or I'm talking about the Cardinals and you live in New England, we all care. We're all up in everybody else's business. We all care about what happens with all 32 teams. And so it does seem like we're more than happy to pile on. We know it'll be our team soon enough, and we're more than happy to pile on everybody else's team. Or if a team has had a long run of success, the Patriots, and now all of a sudden, well, you got tired of hearing about them for years and years, and now all of a sudden they're scuffling. Boy, are people happy to just add insult to their injury? And an injury definitely does apply on this Monday when it comes to the Patriots. So I thought for a change of pace, instead of being optimistic and positive, I'll leave that to Jay. This year, we're going to go with Monday mortification instead of Monday MVP. Just, I don't know. It seems to fit my mood these days.
I think it's appropriate.
Do you? Appropriate for my mood?
No, just for Monday mortification seems like everyone wants to complain on a Monday if your team had a bad week. So here's an opportunity. Here's an outlet, if you will.
Oh, yeah. We always provide the outlet. We always provide the therapy. So you can, again, find us on Twitter. A-Law Radio is me. After Hours CBS is the show. And then on our Facebook page, you'll have an opportunity. I have to tell you guys this other funny story, too, before we just... We'll just start going. Ready, set, go. There's a guy who follows me on Twitter who was at the Blue Jays-Yankees game. I don't know the current name of the stadium. I still think of it as the Sky Dome. But the Rogers Center. Okay. Phew. Kick, save, and a beauty. So this guy sends me a tweet at probably 7 o'clock Toronto time, 7 o'clock New York time. And he offers to give us live updates from the stands whenever Aaron Judge is at bat. Now, while I do appreciate the gesture, and he was very excited, he thought we might actually put him on the air every single time Aaron Judge is up to the plate. So I first wrote back to him and said, thank you for the offer, but the game will be over long before we start the show. And he said, well, if it goes into extras, then maybe. And so I didn't respond to his second tweet. But lo and behold, the game between the Blue Jays and the Yankees goes into extras, And he pops up again on my Twitter and says, hey, I'm still here. The game's still going on. Would you like an update now? Okay, keeping in mind, this is 10 o'clock now, maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30 Toronto time. And my show doesn't go on the air until 2 o'clock in the morning Toronto time. So I'm not sure if he just had no idea what time we're on the radio or if he thinks the show is taped. Clearly, if you listen to the show and you know how dumb crap I say, you know that's not true. I don't get it. Does he think we're on the air 24 hours a day?
We'll catch you in the top of the 27th, maybe. I don't know if we catch that long.
I initially wrote back with, hey, I'm still not on the air for another 3.5 hours, but you know, I appreciate, I said, sorry, this is my schedule for the last 8 years. And then when the game ended moments later, I thought, you know what? I'll spare the man his misery. He just thinks he got unlucky because the game ended in the 10th.
I mean, I guess he was just trying to offer his services. So his heart was in the right place.
Was it?
His head was not, though.
His head was definitely not in the right place.
Far from it.
I think when this game started, actually, you'll love this, Jay. When this game started, I was still on my recumbent bike, not a Peloton. But because my new TV is larger than my old TV, and it's positioned in such a way that it is angled in the corner of the living room, I can see it down the hallway into my room where I bike. So I actually could watch the Aaron Judge at bats on my TV 3 rooms away while I was biking.
That's perfect. Was that planned or that just happened
no,
that way?
It just happened. I thought, because I was going to just run the game on the DVR and then listen to it on the radio. And if he did hit a home run, I would get off the bike, go quick, rewind it, and watch it. But I didn't need to. I could see
it. Just hang out and watch sit on the bike. That's the new lounge chair.
I am not used to this ginormous. Well, it's not ginormous. What? How large did I tell you it was?
I think
55 inches. Yeah, that makes sense. It's 55 inches, and it seems to dominate my living room. So
it's a good size TV.
It is, and a TV stand that I put together all by myself. It just happened to take 3 months.
I was there for emotional support.
No, you weren't.
Oh, come on, I was.
You're full of it.
I helped you do the whole thing emotionally.
Okay. What does that even mean?
I got you through it.
No,
there were some tough times building that stand.
You do not get to take any credit at all.
I'm taking it.
None whatsoever for helping me put together the TV stand. What does emotional support have to do with me picking up a 70-pound TV stand and moving it all around?
I gave you the support to get in there and get that stand done. Because you had some times where you were like, I don't know if I can finish the stand today. I was like, come on, the stand's waiting. It's going to look great.
Are you for real right now? Are you for real? Seriously, never mind all the nice things I ever said about producer Jay. That is unbelievable. Okay, since we started baseball, why don't we pick up there and we'll get to football in our next segment. But yes, it was a game that went into extras in the 10th inning at, don't tell me, Rogers Center. And the Yankees actually had the bases loaded. They walked the bases loaded in the top of the 10th, but Anthony Rizzo had a ground out, so that leaves the Blue Jays to try to walk it off in the bottom of the frame.
The pitch. Swinging a line drive. Base hit into left field. The Blue Jays are going to win it. Biggio scores. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. delivers in the 10th. The Blue Jays race onto the field, celebrating a game winner.
That's Ben Wagner on Blue Jays radio. And Vladimir Guerrero, actually love the fact that he was doing his post game in Espanol. It's fantastic. But mostly producer Jay gave me the cut because he got a Gatorade bath, which is the thing, you know.
Esto fue una victoria de playoff casi para ti.
All right, so much for that. Just take our word for it. There was Gatorade and water and splashing.
Esto fue una victoria de playoff casi para ti.
I love it. So as for Aaron Judge, he was one of those who walked in the top of the 10th inning, and he does have family who went to Toronto with him and with the Yankees. but does not have the opportunity to hit there, and walked multiple times. So that was the last one. They didn't even bother to throw him the pitches. They just signaled intentional walk right away because first base was open. So he goes 1-for-3. He had a hit in his first at bat and a couple of strikeouts, as well as those two walks. And yeah, it wasn't an opportunity to hit, but he was on base.
Game on the line, you know, that's where you want to hit. You know, that's why I'm doing all the work to, you know, put myself in the position to go out there and, you know, help the team out and help us get a win right there. But, you know, I trust every single guy in our lineup and every single guy on our bench, and, you know, especially the guy behind me, Anthony Rizzo, who, you know, day in and day out throughout this whole season has always come up in big spots. But, you know, today didn't do it, and I'll show up tomorrow and get it done.
The Blue Jays prevent the Yankees from clinching the American League East, and Aaron Judge is still at 60 home runs. So come Tuesday, it will be a full week since he hit number 60. I still don't think people should be freaking out about how he's stuck at 60 home runs, because let's be fair, he's not getting a lot of pitches to hit. I just said hitches to pit. Or I would have if I had followed through with that thought. He's not getting a lot of bitches to pit. Hitches to pit. What, this is, it's going to happen. I'd like to tell you that the rest of the show is even going to be remotely an uptick, but it's probably going to keep happening because it's Monday night. It's the end of the football weekend, and this is just how it goes. He said the same thing. He said pitches to hit or hitches to pit, whichever you like. Anyway, back to Aaron Judge. Has not had a home run since last Tuesday, but he did lead off the game with a single, and he's still getting on base. And while the Red Sox did give him some pitches to hit, the Yankees had been playing extremely well, and there had been plenty of offense, so there wasn't a whole lot to be upset about. That 7-game win streak is over, and now that they aren't in New York, I don't know how that affects a person. Sometimes it can help when you're out of the spotlight just a little bit. Well, spotlight. When you're out of the fray and the total insanity that is Yankees baseball right now. When you're away, sometimes you're able to focus on just the task at hand. So he will try again on Tuesday night to match the American League mark that was set by Roger Maris going back to 1961. But let's be fair, even if he's gone an entire week without a home run, his batting average is still .314, and he's leading all three Triple Crown categories. So the man's doing work. He is by far the best hitter in the American League right now, the most feared hitter in the American League right now. But the Yankees see that win streak come to an end. As for the Blue Jays, critical for them, they have a really impressive record in the month of September, 17-8, I believe is what I read. Now, they're not going to catch the Yankees for the American League East. However, if you look at the wild card standings, they're +3 now on the Tampa Bay Rays, who have a half game lead on the Mariners. And then you've got the Orioles 3.5 games out. I love that Baltimore is still alive for a postseason berth. Love that Baltimore is scrapping and fighting and clawing, and that the Orioles are still 7 games above .500. So it's a limited schedule in Major League Baseball. No home runs for Aaron Judge. And we have a couple of more baseball storylines that we'll get to. But for now, we're going to pivot and focus on football. Monday Night Football from MetLife Stadium. Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott on the sidelines, and the New York Giants, who still had an unblemished record. I won't call it perfect, but an unblemished record to wrap up week number 3 as they were hosting a division opponent. Glad to have you with us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Two tight ends to the right. Hand off to Barkley. runs out of an arm tackle. Inside the 20, Barkley cuts left to the 15. He's to the 10, he's to the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Saquon Barkley on a 36-yard run, and the Giants have the lead with 5:31 to go here in the third.
Third and goal from the 1. I formation. Ferguson, the fullback, in front of Elliott. Third and goal from the 1. Handoff, Elliott coming right, pushing, goal line, bangs in! Touchdown, Elliott!
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Raise your hand if you thought there was absolutely no way that the Cowboys and Giants could muster 30 total points in the second half after watching the first half. Thank goodness that I had Peyton and Eli to keep me company again. Can I tell you that I have missed the Monday Night Mannings? It is so completely awkward at times, which is why I absolutely love it. When there's these awkward silences and they're staring at their TVs, obviously, but the cameras are pointed directly at them, or when they and a guest all just sit there gawking at what's happening and really don't have much to say initially. So good. Actually, really funny, too, because during the second quarter, they had Pat McAfee, who is soon to be doing one of his own type of stream of consciousness broadcast during college football on Saturday evenings. And so they have him on the show, and all they're doing, it seems like, between the Cowboys and Giants is punting. So it was a perfect opportunity to have Peyton Manning's former teammate, Pat McAfee, who was, of course, a punter. And they had plenty of time to go over the video. In fact, a video breakdown of the butt punt. Oh my gosh, I don't think I've laughed that hard in days. It was hysterical to see not only McAfee's reaction as a former punter, but also just in general, some of the tweets that I didn't realize had been popping up on Monday because, well, I don't follow Charmin on Twitter. we'll get to that coming up, but there apparently is a still photo that the NFL shared on Monday that has the ball firmly in between the butt cheeks of Trent Sherfield. I mean, I kind of feel bad. That photo is never not going to be around.
Never seen a butt pump before, man.
It's never not going to be there. His kids will have to answer questions about that photo. It's so, so funny. Would you rather have a butt fumble or a butt punt? Like, which one? Neither is great. And butt fumble happened on Thanksgiving night, if I remember correctly. So which would you rather? Would you rather be the victim of the butt fumble or the butt punt?
I would choose the butt punt. I think the
Do
butt
you think
fumble.
His butt is bruised, though? That Ooh. Ball was coming in like in
no.
a... Well, right off... I mean, I don't know what the exit velo was.
We could probably get that. We can get that.
But that dawned on me when I was watching this video over and over again. So you'd rather stand there and have when someone, a professional punter, kick a football into your A double curvy roads?
I think so. You remember Mark Sanchez when he was the victim of the butt fumble?
He was.
He ran into, who was it? Elijah Moore? No, someone, whoever's ass it was. He ran right into him, and he almost got knocked out cold. He was in concussion protocol after that
no,
one.
No, he so. Was not.
I don't know.
They didn't have concussion protocol then, did they?
No, probably not. That's the reason why he wasn't.
I don't know. I don't think I'd want to be the butt punt recipient. Although, the butt punt happened to the guy who was not supposed to be there. So I suppose that's the mistake that he made and the price he had to pay for it.
I can't believe I'm actually trying to find the exit velocity of the butt punt.
Yeah. I mean, that thing was coming right off his foot. He was, we're talking nanosecond from the time that it left Morstead's foot to the time that it hit Sherfield's rear end.
Do you think that helped with the pain? Maybe because it didn't have enough speed to...
Oh,
really
no. That was its top force right
that
there.
That was, you think?
That yeah. was. I mean, the exit velo was at its highest right then. Oh, my gosh. This is not what I... Oh, my gosh. Okay. That was not where I expected this segment to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to it because there's some funny stuff with the butt punt out there on Monday. It's just another manic Monday. So I suppose one of you, thought that the Cowboys and Giants might potentially put 30 points on the board together in the second half, but I was not the one person. I didn't think that was even possible. They do go back-to-back with a pair of extended touchdown drives in the third quarter. So 77 yards, and you hear it with Bob Papa. It's capped off by Saquon Barkley's 36-yard scamper. That is the first touchdown of the game, and then immediately followed by Ezekiel Elliott and his answering with his own touchdown run in a drive directed by Cooper Rush that went 75 yards. After that, there wasn't a whole lot remaining in terms of offense for the New York Giants, but the Dallas Cowboys were able to put together a couple of strong drives after that. And I don't know if Jerry Jones was serious about the quarterback controversy. I'm going to assume that he was joking, only that he meant he wanted Cooper Rush to play really well. But there's not a whole lot of fault to find with the way that Rush played on Monday night.
First and goal at the Giant one. Wiping his hands on the white towel off his belt buckle. It's Rush with the shotgun snap. Back pedals and throws to the near side. A one-hand catch in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Lamb! Touchdown, Cowboys! Oh, what a catch! A one-hand grab with his gloved hand above his silver helmet in the back corner end zone by the pylon. A one-yard beautiful touchdown throw, and the Cowboys have taken the lead midway through the fourth, 19-13 against the Giants.
I always love it when games offer an opportunity for mini redemption. And for CeeDee Lamb, no doubt he was still burning up over the dropped pass that could have been a touchdown, but was definitely a really long gain in the second quarter. I think it was the second quarter, to the point where fans all over the country were yelling, forget Giants versus Cowboys fans. No, everybody who's watching this game goes, ah, because the ball literally went right off his fingertips. And that's not how I yell, but that's how some people yell. So CeeDee Lamb gets that mini redemption and the big touchdown with the one hand as he stretched out toward the left far corner of the end zone. Kevin Harlan with the call on Westwood One. So that drive goes 89 yards over 6 minutes. And at this point, the Cowboys have all the momentum, just looking for one more big play.
Second and 15. Clock at a minute 17 in the game. Snap to Jones. They stunt. He throws it over the middle. That's intercepted at the 35 by Diggs. And he slides down at the Giant 27, but they're going to call the ball trapped.
Love the division win, the complimentary football that we played today. You know, it's always refreshing. You know, long week, and, you know, you come up here and, you know, you're in a hotel all day and, But I just think our guys did a really good job executing the game plan, staying after it. But excellent win on the road. But, you know, we have a lot of work to do.
Okay, so Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys get their second win, and this one over a division opponent, which was a theme that we heard a lot from the Cowboys postgame. The call with Brad Sham on Cowboys radio with just over a minute and 15 seconds to go, and obviously, it was an interception. Odd place to end the cut. But it was an interception, and ultimately, having looked at it, it was actually a double whammy for the Giants on that play, because not only did Daniel Jones throw the interception, it was a great play by Trayvon Diggs, but in addition, Sterling Shepard gets hurt on that particular play. He wasn't part of the play, and if you see the video, he was running upfield and stepped, not even awkwardly, just stepped, and then went down in a heap and grabbed his left knee. So we're waiting to hear, but afterwards there's definite concern. And Brian Daboll was talking about how there's potential that this could be a serious season ender. So this was a costly loss for the Giants, only their first of the season. They're also at 2-1. But to lose him, a veteran receiver, is tough. So we'll hear more from the Cowboys, including Cooper Rush, and Micah Parsons, who records a pair of quarterback hits, but obviously a major piece of that defensive game plan. And the Cowboys defense left its mark on the New York Giants. 5 sacks, 3 of them for Tank Lawrence, a dozen quarterback hits, and then the takeaway there at the end. So the 1-2 punch for the Cowboys, and I don't know if anybody is changing their minds about Cooper Rush or Cooper Rush over Dak Prescott, or maybe that's exactly what's happening because people tend to overreact. If nothing else, at some point, if Cooper is interested in playing outside of Dallas or maybe competing for a starting spot, you would think he's at the very least turning heads and earning that opportunity. Because right now, with him as the starter, the Cowboys have not lost. I mean, next man up, is it? So, good for the Cowboys, mostly good for Cooper Rush, I think that's fun, and their defense, and Mike McCarthy, that they, at this point, are nearly ready to welcome Dak Prescott back onto the field, and yet they've managed to get above 500 after that first week that was so devastating.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Up again, bunched at the 30, victory formation, a quarterback surrounded by his team gets the snap, falls to a knee, and that is all she wrote from the Meadowlands tonight. 2 wins without Dak Prescott is about as good as anyone could have hoped for the Cowboys.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. It did come down to a kneel down, but there's plenty of action even in the final few minutes where the Giants were attempting to try to rally and put something together, got a field goal, and then on their last opportunity, Daniel Jones intercepted by Trayvon Diggs. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Cooper Rush, 21 of 31 in this game. Efficient, move the offense up and down the field, 215 yards passing, and the touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. And we heard Mike McCarthy talk about the divisional component of this. Yeah, it's huge to get this win, not just against the Giants, but on the road.
Division opponent, you want to get off, you know, in the division on the right foot. Another great team win, our defense holding there, another offense under 20, running the rock, making plays outside. You know, this is kind of what we want to do. We want to come in here and you know, division game is what it's about, is coming in and winning. We felt good on offense. We were moving it all night. Some penalty issues kind of got us set back a couple times. And so we felt good as a group, like, just let's execute, no more penalties, and we can move the ball on them. And, you know, we were able to.
We want Dak back as soon as we can, but we want to be safe. And I think we got trust in our medical staff that they're going to make the right decision for him. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a big relief that Dak doesn't have to rush back. And, shoot, I mean, Coop's rolling. There's no surprise at all. Actually, we got a new name for him. It's Cooper Clutch. I mean, yeah, he's a vet. He's been here for a while. I mean, he knows his offense. He's poised. It seems like there's no moment too big for him. And, I mean, shoot, he's 3-0 now as a starter.
That's Ezekiel Elliott raving about Cooper Rush on Westwood One. You can hear Kevin and Kurt Warner laughing in the background.
It's Cooper Clutch.
Cooper Clutch. So the Cowboys moved to 2-1. They joined the Giants at 2-1. So that division is, well, it's always interesting. It's the soap opera of the NFL. But that division's got 3 teams above 500, with the Eagles at 3-0, one of the only remaining undefeateds, Cowboys and Giants just behind, and the Commanders. So maybe this is not the year where you get to kick around the NFC East like it's the worst division in football. So I'm pretty sure right now the AFC South has got the corner on that market. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, who's got the most Monday mortification, the most miserable Monday mortification. So the poll is still up now for this next hour. And then in addition, you can continue to weigh in on our Facebook page. What I was really impressed with was the Dallas defense and the pressure put on Daniel Jones. And I get it. This is another critical year for the Giants quarterback. The problem is, how do you ever evaluate a quarterback when he very rarely has time and space to go through his progressions and set his feet and throw the ball. Daniel can do everything that NFL quarterbacks can do, but since he's gotten into the NFL, we don't often see him when there isn't duress. Now, he makes his mistakes. I'm not telling you that he's a perfect QB. Just a lot of times hard to judge development of high profile and high draft picks when they're thrown into a situation that's less than optimal. And for Daniel, and for other quarterbacks too, it's not a situation unique to him, because very often the best young QBs, the best QB prospects, get drafted by the worst teams. I mean, think about Trevor Lawrence and what he went through last year. But the perennial problem with the Giants and Daniel Jones is that he's always under duress. They have always had a bad offensive line since they got him. And so even as they want him to make progress and show what he can do and play for a future contract, and now he's got Brian Daboll, which might be his seventh coach or coordinator that he's had since he got to the Giants. I mean, there's been a steady revolving door of voices around him, voices in his head, you know. It's tough. It's tough to know how to evaluate him. I think that if you're taking a stat like, oh, he's 0-9 in primetime games, it seems so ridiculous. Again, he's not without fault. He certainly has made some bonehead choices and some bonehead throws in the heat of the battle. But I still say you have to look at what's happening around a quarterback, and the offensive line has been rough, and it's been nothing but constant change around him since he got into the NFL. You could say the same thing about Baker Mayfield, now two different quarterbacks. But has there been one season into the next that hasn't come with a ton of change for Baker? Yes, he creates his own problems. Sometimes he's his own worst enemy. But it's been a different head coach, a different offensive coordinator, a different this, a different that. I mean, heck, now it's a different team. And so he's had to deal with nonstop change around him as well. Brian Daboll, the best coach that he's had yet, that Daniel's had yet. And he definitely is positive, or at least he speaks positively about his quarterback.
He's making progress. You know, it's tough after a loss. You know, nobody did well enough, and we understand that. But I think he's making progress, and he fought, he battled. You know, he made some really good plays out there under some duress.
They're a good front. They're a good defense. You got to give credit to them. They played hard. But, yeah, I think there's things we can all do better with that, and that starts with me and, you know, finding space to step up, finding space to move around the pocket and make some plays. So I'll study that, and we all will. But credit to them. They're a good front. They're a good defense.
He also had a couple of drops, too, but his numbers were not great. 20 of 37 for 196 yards and the interception there at the end of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned this before the update, but 5 sacks of Daniel Jones officially and another dozen quarterback hits. Micah Parsons was all up in his grill, it seemed like, all the time, regardless of who they had trying to block him. He just moves all over the field. He'll line up at tackle, he'll line up on the edge, he'll line up at backer. He'll just pretty much line up wherever he wants to, and he makes life miserable for opposing offensive lines. However, this O-line has got to take some responsibility. And John Feliciano, who's at the center spot, he knows you can't allow your quarterback to take hit after hit after hit to the point where not only is he running for his life, but he never has a clean pocket, never has an opportunity to just allow the receivers to get downfield and the play to develop.
Not good enough. And we got to come back on a short week and get that corrected.
We've been through a lot of adversity, but like I said, this team's been here before. We've been through injuries. We've been through people stepping up. And, I mean, we just keep answering that bell every time. So that's what it's all about, man. This league is fun. It's competitive. But you never count out the underdog, and I don't think we should ever really be the underdog.
just hearing the difference in the tone and the voice of John Feliciano versus Micah Parsons wants the Cowboys to have more respect. And the defense has given the Cowboys more credibility, to be sure. I love what we've seen from this Cowboys defense going back to the start of last year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes it's about finding the right coach, finding the right people, finding the right coach. Everything comes together. Now we're going to get away from football for a couple of minutes anyway, because it was also a really big day for the NBA. And the two stories right now that are gripping the NBA actually have nothing to do with what is going on the court. Could certainly impact what happens on the court. But these are two huge stories that, at least right now, are casting a shadow over the start of NBA training camp and NBA preseason. And we'll hear from the Suns a little bit later on. But the Celtics were meeting the media on Monday. And it was the first time since their coach, Ime Udoka, was suspended. And at this point, they still really don't have a whole lot of info.
Something that we got to address as a group, which we've started that process of doing. Like you said, not a lot of information is being shared, you know. So it's a lot of confusion going around, a lot of speculation going around, which makes it difficult on the guys that's been here and the guys that are here now. But I guess what we do is do our jobs.
It's a lot to process, you know, unexpected, especially, right, coming into this season and you feel a certain way that, you know, coming off last year that you're excited and trying to do all these things, you know, and just a lot, if I'm being honest. What I'm looking forward to most is just playing basketball, right? You know, it's been a lot of talking and things like that. And, you know, tomorrow we just get to play basketball, we get to practice. So, you know, I'm looking forward for that to start.
The two leaders of the Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and you hear it as they speak up. It's a lot, to be honest. That comes from Tatum. And then Jaylen Brown not having all the information. We're going to at least get the information that's available, plus the impact with Boston Celtics Media Day. Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe was there. It's been a long day for him. He's been working. He's been writing. And he will join us coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is everywhere you are this season with the MLB app. Enjoy the show from wherever you are when you download the free MLB app to your mobile device. Never miss a second of the action with coverage of in-game highlights, pitch-by-pitch features, select live broadcast coverage, and more. Show support for your favorite team with customizable MLB club-branded icons. And tune in to exclusive premium content for every team in the league.
That is out of the ballpark!
The MLB app is your ticket to all things baseball all the time. You can even get live notifications sent to your phone, watch, and car, so you're always up to date on the biggest breaking news, scores, and standings. The MLB app is your hub for live baseball everywhere you go. The number one source of live baseball on your Apple and Android devices is the official app of Major League Baseball. Download the MLB app today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Additional subscriptions may be required. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play.
No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.